So the crowd answered Jesus, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you." Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, open our ears that we may hear your word for our lives. Open our minds that we may ponder their significance in our lives. Open our eyes so that we may see the wonder of your creation all around us. And Father, most of all, open our hearts, dwell in them, and set them on fire so that we may walk in your word and in your light. This we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you watch Andrew Klavan on YouTube? I keep asking these YouTube questions. and I expect to see some hands out now and again. Maybe we're getting too old for all the technology and YouTube. Now, Andrew Klavan, for those of you who don't know, and I only saw one hand go up, so only one person knows who Andrew Klavan is, but those of you who don't know, Andrew Klavan is one of those social media commentators on YouTube, and he does a YouTube program that kind of reflects on culture. He's an author, but also he is, by background, a Jew who has converted to follow Jesus Christ. So he is a messianic, what we call a messianic Jew. And you can also, if you go to the PragerU or Jews for Jesus, is actually where I first encountered him. He gives a witness through Jews for Jesus on his conversion from Judaism to Christianity. Now, albeit he was what we would call a cultural Jew, in other words, a Jew who does not attend synagogue and not Orthodox in any way, shape, or form prior to seeing the risen Lord Jesus Christ and accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior in his life. That's just a brief idea of who Andrew Klavan is. Well, I kind of enjoy it. He's kind of humorous, and I enjoy his commentary on today's culture. It's usually interesting, funny, and insightful. But a little while ago on X, because I follow him on X as well, he posted a comment that I kind of thought was a little bit, shall we call questionable. And in that comment, he was talking about his faith that no one will enter the kingdom of God except through Jesus. And then he made a side comment after that, reflecting on Matthew 25, verses 31 to 45. And he said it is clear to him that even those who don't know him may also be in the kingdom, which is kind of a sideways attempt to say that Matthew 25, verses 31 to 45, open up the possibility of universal redemption, we call it, where all will be redeemed, whether they know it or not, whether they believe it or not, that all will be redeemed through Jesus. What he's using there, I know some of you are looking at Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 45, and you're reading through it right now. For the rest of you, just a reminder, this is where Jesus tells about the final judgment And he says to those who are before him on his the goats and the sheep, and the sheep were on the right. And this particular part of the passage is those who are the sheep on the right, and said, as you have served me, I was in prison and you ministered to me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. And they say, when, Lord, did we see you in prison? When, Lord, did we see you hungry? Hopefully I've tweaked your memory. In other words, those who have come before Jesus, who are the sheep, didn't know that they were ministering. And so he uses that as, again, an entry into this idea of universal redemption, which the Bible does not witness to at all. And I had to write a reply, to which I'm sure he won't reply, because he's going to get, you know, hundreds of thousands of replies on X for his comments most of the time, but encouraged him that to say that he should talk to an Orthodox Christian pastor or an Orthodox Christian scholar, because he is taking the Bible out of its context and not reading it within Scripture as a whole. I tell you this story only because it reminded me of how important it is for us to be involved in daily Bible study. How important it is for us to read our Bibles over and over again. Because that's how often false teaching and heresy enter into the church. They enter into the church by people taking Scripture out of context, and out of particularly the context of all of Scripture. And by doing so, begin walking the path of false teaching and heresy within the church. Because Scripture does not anywhere at all condone the idea of universal redemption. That Jesus, in his heavenly judgment, will just redeem those who have behaved themselves, or who have lived justly, or have been social justice warriors in the world, you know, taking care of the poor, the homeless, the hungry, doing all these ministerial things that we are called to do as followers of Christ, no doubt. But by the mere doing of them and not confessing Jesus Christ, not confessing our sin and the need for Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, that it would just happen because we blindly do the things that are seen as righteous or just. This is a problem. This is why this idea of universal redemption is a false teaching. And one has to be very careful to head down that path. Because it is easy to see when you read Matthew 25, 31 to 45, that maybe there is this hint of it here. That those who don't know, yet act righteously or justly, enter into the kingdom. But it rather is a commentary on those who are faithful followers. The ones who have been redeemed through their faith in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross for them. They are the ones who do this ministry. And they do this ministry without any knowledge and acknowledgement. Remember again that Jesus talked about those of us who are called to follow him. And when we pray, to do so by entering into our private closet, by not standing on the street corners and announcing our prayers, or when we fast, that we don't do as the Pharisees do and make our faces bitter and show how harsh it is that we are fasting so that we can be seen by men. And the same with our giving, that we are not acknowledging our giving as the Pharisees do, as they hand it out proudly in the marketplace and show others how righteous and just they are. But we do so in secret, for our Father who sees in secret rewards us in secret. This is the idea. This is for those who follow, those who acknowledge Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross for their sins, those who have faith in Jesus Christ. And so by extension, Matthew 25 is talking about those who are following Christ. It is not a place for universal redemption. Well, this is not just a problem in the church and a problem for today, but it's a problem that has existed for a very, very long time. And the reason I bring it up is because it is here in the scriptures today. It is one of the reasons that we have that the Jews did not follow Jesus, did not acknowledge Jesus. And it comes because they did not understand the law. And they did not understand not just partial passages of the law, but the entire law. And that has been a problem, for it turns their eyes away from God's salvation brought to earth in Jesus Christ. It is from the passage that I just read that the crowd answered Jesus, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" It comes from a wrong understanding of the law. Now, here, when the Jews that come to him talk about the law, they're talking about the entire corpus of the law. They are talking about what essentially we understand as the Old Testament. They would call the Torah. It is the entire embodiment of the law. But they are not seeing the entire embodiment of the law. They are interpreting partial pieces of it. One of them could have been Zechariah that we read today. When Zechariah reflects on the triumphal entry of the Messiah, and the Messiah will come and have this triumphal entry, and Jerusalem will laud him as he foresaw in his prophecy, and he speaks that this kingdom that will be ushered in by the King of Zion, the King of Jerusalem, will be eternal. And so that's where they get some of this idea, and there certainly is this in the prophets. But also in the prophets, especially Isaiah, which we reflect on in Holy Week, we reflect on Isaiah's passages of the suffering servant, the one who will come and will suffer for the nation and will suffer for those who are redeemed. You have to hold these passages together. And this suffering is earthly. And this suffering is temporal, according to Isaiah, who also viewed the coming Messiah. And so there is a suffering that occurs, and yet it is also eternal in its result. The suffering bears eternal results. The humble king who comes into Zion not in glory of conquest, but humbly on a donkey, that this king will also be eternal. This is true. And Jesus reflects on that and comments immediately following the question that these Jews have in their misunderstanding when he said, "The light is among you a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overcome you." They need to understand the scriptures in their totality. When they do, they will see the light. They will know the light, and the light stands before them. It is Jesus. And he encourages them to walk in that light while the light is still with them this week as we move toward Good Friday and the crucifixion of Jesus. And then, of course, the eternal kingship that Jesus ushers in through his resurrection and ascension into heaven. Walk in the light this week. Understand the scriptures, not piecemeal, not chopped apart, but in their entirety. It must be taken in context. Otherwise, we run the chance of running the error and the heresy of these Jews and not seeing salvation before our eyes or understanding in false doctrines within the church, like universal redemption. We need to be careful. We need to do what Jesus says. Walk in the light of Christ is what we walk in. When we walk in the light, then we understand the need for Jesus to be crucified, because it ushers in the kingdom, not just for Jews, but his crucifixion opens the door to us, Gentiles, as well. The Greeks who originally came to him in John's Gospel, right at the very beginning, who wanted to come to see Jesus, and Jesus was reminded at that request from the Greeks, from the Gentiles of the time, who are seeking salvation at the temple, by the way, because this is where this takes place. They are honestly seeking redemption and salvation. And Jesus is reminded that in order to win that for the Gentile, the Greek, us, he needs to die. Which is why he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." And that requires knowing Jesus, seeing that he must die on the cross to shed his blood for our redemption, and having faith that we deserved what he received, and in knowing and having faith that he received our punishment so that we can be redeemed. We need to know that in order to follow him. Universal redemption is a false teaching. The fact that the Messiah comes according to the law only for the glory of the nation Israel as it exists then and even now, only for earthly power and gain, is also a false teaching. And so as we journey through this week of Holy Week and come and move toward Good Friday and Easter Sunday morning, let us turn to the Word of God and continue to read the entire Word of God so that we do not fall in the error of false teachings, but that we walk in the light of the good news of Christ and him crucified for our sins, that through faith we would have eternal life through his resurrection also. So now may the peace of God, which passes all our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.